Shalom Aleichem, sweetest friends. This year should be a special schus for Avi Marani Mimarasi Sheyichyu, schus Moshe Beshtin Raisa Moshe Mordechai. And Vinishmas Maritz Esther Basrib Shmuel, Maritz Chanab Tagan Matzah Chanab Matzah Meir Zev. And it's based on a shir given by Mori Barabi, the Tom the Rabbi Shlita, in the year 5769. In Parshas Yisro, after Aseres Hadibros, the pasuk says, "V'mizbeach Avonim, tasad lo sivna asen gazis ki charbuchay naftalas chalam." When you will make an altar of stones for me, don't build them hewn, unless you wield your sword over it and defile it. Rashi says, I'll just read out Rashi in translation. Because the mizbeach was created to lengthen man's days, and steel was created to shorten man's days, it's therefore not right that what shortens should be wielded over what lengthens. Moreover, the Mizbech makes peace between Klal Yisrael and Avim Shebashamayim. Therefore, that which cuts and injures should not come over it. It's Kal V'chomer. If in the case of stones which neither see nor hear nor speak, because of the fact that they make peace, the Torah says you shouldn't wield iron over them. One who makes peace between a man and his wife, between a family and another, a man and his fellow, how much more so? That Shelo Tovei'o Paranus. That Paranus are not going to come over him. So the Mizbech doesn't have the iron wielded over them. So a person also who makes peace, like the Mizbech does, is certainly not going to have troubles. So the number of kashas on Rashi, first of all, in Parashat Bereishis, Rashi says, "Vanilo batzi alafaris pshuto shel mikra, ula agada miyashevis divrei hamikra dover dover alafanav." I only come to explain the simple meaning of the psukim, and to cite an agada that resolves the meaning of the pasuk point by point. So why does Rashi bring sources here, once from the Mishnah in Midos 3:4, Mechilta, that doesn't seem to be explaining Pshuto Shel Mikra? Also the wording used by the Medrash and quoted by Rashi, Rashi quotes Matil Shalom. He's Matil Shalom. Lashon of Rashi is Alideisha Metilo Shalom Amra Torah. The base, the Mizbech is Metil Shalom. And the person is Matil Shalom Ben Ish L'Ish. They'll usually say Osir Shalom. What shat Matil Shalom? Maybe Rodev Shalom. The Malbim explains that the word Matil connotes taking something from a position which is high and placing it lower. So why is this used, this language used in this context? Another time Chazal used a lotion of haytails in the Gemara in Kiddushin. There's an orphan who asks Rabbi Eliezer what a person must do if both his father and mother ask him for a drink at the same time. Eliezer answered that he must first serve his father, even though his mother will have to wait, because she is obligated to honor her husband. Then the orphan went to Rabbi Yehoshua and asked him what the halacha would be in the event that the mother and the father were divorced, and the mother would therefore no longer be obligated to honor her husband. Rabbi Yeshua answered, "Hatel and mayim b'seifa v'kakelem ketarnik olim." Pour water in a pitcher for them and call out to them like one calls to chickens. So why does he allegorically refer to divorced parents as chickens? And what's the lashon of hatel l'fneim? Should say hanach l'fneim. What's hatel l'fneim mayim b'seifa? Also, the fact that the Torah gives instructions about how to build the Mishkan, the Mizbeach, immediately after the Aseret HaDibros shows that this connection between the Aseret HaDibros and the Mizbeach, so we have to explain that as well. Ramban writes about the Mizbeach, Beis HaBechira 2, first and second halachas. Just read it out in translation. The location of the Mizbeach is extremely precise, and one may never change it. We have a tradition that the place on which David and Shlomo built the Mizbeach, the threshing floor of Aravna, is in the same location. Amakom Shebo, B'Shabana Bo David Shlomo Mizbech Bugar and Arvino. The place where David and Shlomo built their Mizbech is in the threshing floor of Aravna, Hayavusi, this man. And that's the same place that Avram built the Mizbech for Yitzchak. And that's the same place that Noach was Makriv his Karbanos. And so too, Adam HaRishon was makriv when he was created, a carbon. So why does the Rambam give us this whole history lesson? So obviously to tell us why it's so chashuv that the Mizbeach be in the right place. But why does it matter that it be in such a specific place? Gemara says in Zvachim, Darash Rabba Maidach Seviel Shmuel David Bishmuel Yeshuv Benayos HaRama. What does Nayos have to wait till Rama? What's the meaning of the Pasuk and David Shmuel went and sat in Nayos and Rama? What does Nayos have to do with Rama? These are two separate places. Rather, they were sitting in Rama, Yashu Yoskim B'Rama V'Oskim B'Nayos Shalohelam. They were sitting in Rama and discussing the beauty of the world. In other words, Rashi says, where to build the Beis HaMikdash? David and Shmuel. So the Gemara goes on to say that initially they looked for the highest place, Kam Tav Lisa La Makom, so Beis HaMikdash is high, Ve'Lisa, and they found Ein Etam, which is the highest point in the inheritance of Shevet Binyamin. Since the Pasuk says, Ubein Seif of Shechin, a rest between his shoulders, this implies a slightly lower elevation. They had to find a place that was a little bit lower, and they settled in Har Moriah. Why did Chazal deem it important to tell us the entire process through which the correct place was chosen, including the fact that Ein Etam had initially been selected as a potential location and then rejected? Although the Gemara apparently discusses the location of the Beis HaMikdash in general, and not specifically the Mizbech, the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah to build a house for Hashem, prepare for karbanos to be offered within. So we see the Mizbech was the essence of the Beis HaMikdash, where the karbanos would be offered. And therefore it follows that finding the correct location for the Beis HaMikdash was necessarily primarily ensure that the Mizbech was in its correct location. We can learn a very powerful lesson regarding the Torah's method to making peace by carefully examining the process that David and Shmuel went through to select the location of the Mizbeach, which, as we said earlier, serves to make peace in the world. The entire detailed process, including the fact that they first chose one location and then another one lower down in their final choice, all add further hints to understanding this method. When a person wants to mediate a dispute, it can sometimes be extremely difficult not to take sides, as one may very easily be swayed when hearing the superior arguments of one of the sides. Obviously, if the peacemaker had already sided with one of the disputants, then he will not be able to bring about reconciliation because he lost his impartiality and will undoubtedly favor the side with whom he has allied himself with. In order to prevent this from happening, it's imperative that the mediator take the necessary steps to help him remain impartial. Chazal said that David and Shmuel initially wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash on the highest possible location. They were hinting to the fact that the way for a person to retain his impartiality when trying to sort out a machlekes is that he has to elevate himself above the points that the disagreeing sides are arguing about and retain a proper perspective. So we're talking about making shalom, so the Beis HaMikdash has to be in the highest place. When you're in a higher place, then you have a proper perspective. The fact that after David and Shmuel found the highest place, they chose a different point, which was slightly lower, teaches us another element in the process. Once the mediator found the secure position, which is elevated and detached, then he has to go down, he has to descend into the nitty-gritty of the dispute in order to fully understand what the dispute is about and come up with realistic suggestions that will be acceptable to both sides. So now we understand why we're told about the whole Seder of finding the Makom HaMikdash. You want to go to the start with the highest, and then because that's the way you want to be a proper mediator, and then go down into the nitty-gritty. The fact that the location of Zbech had to be so precise emphasizes how critical this approach is. So just like if the Mizbech isn't in the exact place it's puzzle, so to the mediator who doesn't follow this two-step process invalidates his approach and should step down from the mediation. So according to this, the word metil with regards to making peace fits in perfectly. This implies putting something down from a higher place and then from a higher place to a lower place, meaning that when you want to make peace, you start up high and then you go down into the details. Similarly, it's fitting that Rabbi Yeshua used this wording when he instructed an orphan what to do if divorced parents both ask for a cup of water. He was teaching them the way to make peace, even between a couple where the dispute has already deteriorated to the point of divorce. It's through this process of elevating oneself above the machlokas. He tells the orphan, what do you do if both your parents ask for a cup of water? He says, Meitil. So you have to elevate yourself above the machlokas and go down, place it down. He refers to the ex-husband and ex-wife as chickens, like it says in the Gemara in Beitza. The three brazen ones, Klal Yisrael are the Azen Sheb Umos, the brazen of the Umos, Kelev Bechayis, dog among the animals, and a chicken, the Tarnagol among the birds. So the dispute between a divorced couple is often extremely fierce. Rabbi Yeshua referred to them as chickens. Teach the orphan that even in such a vicious conflict, when you remain elevated above the point of dispute, you can remain objective and bring a resolution to the conflict. So yeah, they're chickens, they're fierce, but you have to stay above, elevate yourself. This point was especially valuable for Klal Yisrael immediately after Matan Torah, where they were elevated to the status of Amleches Kainim B'Koy Kadosh. Kish Echad B'Lev Echad, it's a spiritual high. But then they're going to go back into life and they're going to be disputes. And they're going to see, oh, what a downer. So the Torah tells us how to keep peace. You want to keep this achdus even after Matan Torah. So therefore there's Smichus Parshius between the Mizbeach, which teaches us how to make peace by starting up high, being completely above the dispute, and then going down into the details. That's juxtaposed to Matan Torah. And Rashi is telling us Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why do we have the Parsh of the Mizbeach right after the Parsh of Matan Torah? And this is why. To keep the Ki'ish Echad B'Lev Echad. Amar B'Zeirom B'Yirmiya Bar Abba B'Dorsha Ben David Ba Kategori B'Talmid HaChachamim. In the generation when Mashiach comes, there'll be accusations on the Talmid HaChachamim. So, a lot of times, unfortunately, we have that in our society. There's a lot of machlokas, and the way to fight it is to not be drawn into the fray and elevate yourself. It's not so beautiful story, as is well known in Ger. There's a splinter group that was started by the son of the previous Ger Rebbe, who is not the Rebbe. His cousin is the Rebbe. And he decided for various reasons that he was going to start his own group. He didn't agree with what was going on, but he's a very beautiful, peace-loving person. Massive, massive Gadol B'Torah and Tzaddik. And the story goes that I read that I heard from a person who heard from a Ger Chassid who was there that on Simchas Torah, they called him up to the Torah, Dineinu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, which in Rosh Hashanah was his Admor. So later on when Rav Shaul, that's the name of the Rav, got up to speak, he said, Chazal say to start the speech with a Milsat B'dichasa, with a joke. So the joke was already said, I don't have to start with a joke. The joke is calling me Adoneinu Moreinu V'Rabbeinu. There's only one Rebbe, and that's the Admor Migor, and it's not me. And in this way, he really raised himself above the machlokas. You don't have to machlokas. We have our way, they have their way. But you don't have to start calling me Admor and start fanning the flames of the machlokas. So that's just a beautiful contemporary story about trying as much as possible to maintain achdus. At times you have to splinter off. The Baal Shem Tov also splintered off, right? Hasidus did a lot of beautiful things for the world. And many great yeshivas were started from splitting off from another yeshiva. And things have to be done at times, but shuls, etc. So the best thing to do in such a situation is always think of ways to elevate yourself above the machlokas. Okay, thank you so much for listening. Shalom, shalom.